If your ex blocks you off everything a day after your breakup, will they eventually unblock you?
It's possible. It's like a, you know, it's like a 50-50, flip a quarter, flip a coin. It could go either way. Typically, people are doing that. They're in a lot of pain. And so to them, they're doing something. They're taking some kind of action to, in essence, block the pain off. Because if you're trying to get over somebody, the last thing you want to see is their Instagram stories, or worse, them posting pictures of somebody else they're dating or whatever.
Right.
Because then you're going to see that and you're like, damn, they're doing better than me. You know, it pisses me off. She found somebody new before I did, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so typically there's that kind of a reaction. So it's common for women to block guys, and guys do it to girls, but women often will do that. Depends on how pissed off they are. Depends on how wounded they are. Depends on how open they are. And so when you see those things, oftentimes, so when you do that, when somebody basically blocks you and they, in essence, ghost you, if you will, in other words, they're just basically saying, hey, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you anymore. I want you out of my life. It's like, okay. And then you go. You think you can do better than me? Then go. Good luck.
Right.
Good love's hard to find, like the Tom Petty song has. And so you need to have that attitude. So in this case, you don't do anything. Mm-hmm. You don't call. You don't. I mean, you're blocked anyways.
Right.
So you shouldn't be watching her stories. And but you know, guys in that situation, what are they gonna do? Every couple of days or every couple of weeks, they're gonna go back to see if they're unblocked yet.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they will be unblocked, and because enough time passes, the woman wants to know what's going on with you.
Yeah.
You know, because she might be thinking, I hope he's not doing better than me, or I hope the next girl's not prettier than I am.
Right.
And so you'll notice that you're unblocked, but. Typically what's happened in those situations is they've over pursued the women to the point, or they've displayed such unattractive behavior that she's like, friend zone, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm over it. I don't feel anything anymore. There's no chemistry. There's no spark. I need to work on myself. You get those kinds of things. So you let her be, because it takes two people to make something work. In this case, this is an ex. He's probably hoping to get her back or to work things out. And if she's not willing to participate, if she's not willing to talk, I mean, if he's blocked everywhere, then she has to be the first one to reach out. When you've gotten to the point where you're blocked and you're pushed away, you don't keep pursuing. Mm-hmm. It's like the door slammed in your face. So you walk away and you go find somebody else to date. And if you ever hear from her again, assume she wants to see you. You make a date at your house in the evening to make dinner together, hang out, have fun, hook up.
What if he's the one that broke up with her and then she blocked him?
Again, you can't fix anything if she's unwilling to talk to you.
Right.
But in that case, 99.99999% of those, it's she's blocked him because she dumped him. I mean, women file for divorce like 75% of the time. Mm-hmm. It's because women typically stay in a relationship until the feelings are gone. Right. Until it's easier for them to either monkey branch to a new guy or to break it off and feel good about the breakup because the feelings are gone.
Yeah.
If you break up with somebody when you still care about them and you still love them, you're going to go right back to them because the pain of not being together is too overwhelming. But when you don't care anymore, like I was talking to a guy last night who was dating a girl, and he over pursued her to the point, you know, for several years where he's doing like 70% of it, but they were long distance it, you know, for like the last year, year and a half or so. So they didn't see each other very often, but you know, she was very cold when they broke up, and he reached out a couple months after it, after she had pushed him away, and her attitude was a little better. But when they talked and they texted, she basically came right out and said, you haven't changed at all. You're still the same guy.
Yeah.
And so he didn't do anything to improve himself yet. So in other words, she pushed him away, said she wasn't interested. And instead of him walking away and never looking back,
But
2 months later, he looked back and he went after her. And she's like, it was the right thing to do. I don't feel anything. My feelings are completely gone.
Yeah.
And so she was totally over it because he hadn't heard from her in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And then that was what happened last summer. And since then, he hasn't heard a peep out of her. And so he's like, am I going to hear from her again? I was like, I put a fork in that. Her family's unfollowed him on social media. Oh, wow. And so, you know, in that case, it's... He over-pursued and he chased her to the point where she lost all respect, all interest. Because she used to, in the beginning of the relationship for the first year, she was always pursuing him and chasing him, wanted to be serious, wanted to get in a relationship with him, was talking about marriage and all these things. And then over time, the power flipped, and then he became full of fear, and then he was doing all the chasing.
Right.
And she was the one putting him off. She was the one too busy to get together, those kinds of things. And eventually, you know, she dumped him. And then he kept pursuing even after he got dumped.
Yeah.
And so, like, towards the end, she was kind of, you know, because he had acted weak, she was a bitch to him.
Yeah.
Women tend, you know, if you act like a bitch, women tend to be bitchier towards you.
Because
she's disgusted by his unattractive, unmasculine behavior.
Right.
And because we're the part of the world she's from, men, you know, run everything.
Right.
And he's basically started, went from acting like a man in the beginning to towards the end, he's acting like a girl. And she was totally repulsed and totally desperate, turned off. And that's why she was just kind of nasty and mean to him, because she just wanted him to go away because it disgusted her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he started acting desperate towards her. And that's a turnoff, huge turnoff.
Yeah, you're supposed to be more masculine than the girl.
Right.
And she was very feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And very feminine women want a very masculine guy, just like you say often. You want to be dominated by a very masculine guy
because
you're very feminine and girly, because otherwise you're not going to feel safe.
Yeah. Like, I find it attractive when guys know what they want, you know, when they don't need to do the ultimate most in order to show you that and prove that. Like, if they know they like you and they want to be with you, they'll make it known, not in a way where they're, like, crawling at my feet kind of thing. So.
But you've seen a lot of guys that tend to crawl at your feet because they can't handle your beauty and your sex appeal.
And you like...
You're like the ultimate girl. You're the hot girl that they've always wanted.
Yeah.
And they don't interact with women like you very often or that they feel that way about. And so all of their insecurities, their fear of loss, all that stuff comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And they constantly communicate that they don't feel like they deserve to be with you. And what you're most attracted to is confidence and dominance.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically apologizing for their interests and then telling you they don't think they're good enough for you.
Right.
And you want a guy that feels like he deserves to be there, like he's an equal. Like, yeah, of course she would date me. Why wouldn't she? She'd be stupid not to.
Right. You should be honored.
Yeah, you should be honored. You should be glad. You should be like, oh, of course. You know, she's obviously a smart girl if she likes me, you know. But when they grovel and they act unworthy, it's every woman gets turned off. They could be an obese, unattractive woman. And you could have a fit, in shape dude that just, you know, likes big, fat girls. You know, big, beautiful. I had an old friend of mine that was like that. The dude was one of the most handsome, fittest, in shape dudes that I went to school with. And he just liked big girls.
Yeah.
And the more out of shape and the more roll, it just did it for him. He was weird like that, you know. He married a big girl, and he's the happiest, most devoted husband.
Okay.
It's like, hey, different strokes for different folks, man. Well, the thing, like, when it comes to flirtation, because I've, you know, a hot girl is a hot girl. I don't care. But the thing I've noticed is that women are the best flirts are typically the overweight black women. They are sweet as pie. They can run circles around white girls, any other Hispanic girls. It's like overweight black women have more charm and know how to talk. That's why you'll see really shredded, fit, in shape black guys that you're like, the dude looks like a male model.
Right.
He should be dating some, you know, a Beyonce or some absolutely Halle Berry, some smoking hot. Woman.
Yeah.
Instead, he's with this, you know, enormously obese woman who's happy, who's bubbly, who's always breaking his balls playfully. She's constantly having sex with him, making dinner for him. She dotes on him. She treats him great because, you know, bigger women have to work a little harder and they develop their skills in other areas and they're able to punch above their weight.
Yeah.
You know, because what is she doing? She's bringing peace into his life.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes home from a hard day, she's like, baby, how are you? Here's a beer. And she pulls his pants down, gives him a blowjob. Always doting on him, waiting on him hand and foot. Yes, honey. Yes, baby. Whatever he wants. Keeps the house clean. Just good, good women.
Yeah.
And so I found the best flirts are big, beautiful black women. Who's the other guy that was in Bad Boys with Will Smith? What's that guy's name?
I know who you're talking about. The short guy?
Yeah. He's a comedian.
Yeah. I forgot his name.
Filming a new one down in Miami. Bad Boys 4, I think it is.
They shut down A1A.
Yeah. And they moved all, because like if you ever been to Miami, when you get off the interstate, that's where all the homeless people are. It kind of looks like fucking San Francisco there. But because they're filming a movie. What happened? The police are like, hey, we're filming a movie here. You got to move.
Yeah.
So they moved them all the way. It looks all clean downtown Miami. And in reality, they just, all the homeless people got moved for the movie.
Damn.
Soon as they were done filming, they all moved right back. Pitching their tents in the street and sidewalks and everything.
Damn.
Which, you know, the mayor, I think it's Suarez, he's supposedly a Republican, but he's the one allowing that shit. So he's one of those guys that everybody's, you know, is like a rhino, Republican in name only.
Right.
He claims he's a Republican, but when you look at the fact that he's, you know, basically turning downtown Miami into San Francisco, because the, you know, the shoot house where I've gone, I go to train down there and do, you know, CQB stuff, force on force training. It's right in a, you know, really bad area. And even though I'm armed to the teeth,
mm-hmm.
when I go down there, I do not feel safe.
Really?
And I'm always looking around, you know, when I go there until I get into the building. It's like a dodgy ass area.
Fort Lauderdale is getting really bad too.
Yeah, I noticed there's lots of homeless people everywhere down at the beach.
Yeah.
That, you know, I go to lunch down there sometimes, and there's this one guy down there. He's got tattoos all over his face. He looks like an MS-13 guy. I was like,
oh, my gosh.
He's a scary-looking dude, man. Right. It's like I never, you know, seen that guy before.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm seeing more than usual. Like, they're just sitting out under the benches, like, even at some restaurants, just outside of the restaurants. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, downtown Orlando, I mean, that over the last 25, 30 years since I had moved up there in the mid-90s, it's like downtown Orlando, it smells like piss everywhere.
Yeah.
There's homeless people everywhere on every corner during the day begging for money. When, you know, they got two or three big shopping carts full of crap.
Right.
And it's, you know, Buddy Dyer, the mayor of Orlando, he tolerates that shit. It's everybody in the Democratic, oh, we got to be compassionate. So you got all these people basically dying on the streets, doing drugs.
Yeah.
And they won't do anything about it. Well, when you, what's interesting is people go and they interview people on the streets. They're like, hey, you know, you need a job. What do you need? And they're like, hey, I get Social Security benefits. I get government handouts. They most of them they're addicted to drugs. And they have no desire to get a job or do anything because they get plenty of money to buy the food that they need. They live on the streets and they just do drugs all day long. Have sex in a street, whatever.
Ew.
It's like, it's crazy, the video that you see on Twitter of the stuff that goes on in San, you know, people walking around with their briefcases and there's some dude, you know, right next to the stop sign, just, you know, butt flopping in the, you know, the air, pounding away on some chick that's giving up the pussy. So he'll give her some, you know, free drugs.
Isn't that illegal?
Nothing's really illegal. I mean, they changed the laws that it was kind of funny because Gavin Newsom was on. He was talking to some of the other members of his government, and he was on a Target.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was watching all these people just run out the door. He's like, I'm paying like $300-$400 wherever I bought at Target.
Right.
And yet these people are walking out with shopping carts full of stuff and nobody's doing anything. And he was asking the people at Target and they were like, why aren't you guys stopping these shoplifters? And they're like, it's the governor,
uh-huh.
the Governor Newsom. This is his policy.
Right.
And he was like, oh, that's not true. And then they recognized that it was him. Oh, can I take a picture? And he was pissed off.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't believe this. They want to take a picture with me. And they're blaming me for this. It's right. like, well, it's the policies that basically say, as long as they don't arrest people unless they've stolen $1,000 or more.
Yeah.
So that the police don't even show up. Hey, I got somebody just walked out the door with a TV. It's like, they don't even come. They don't right. care.
Yeah.
And so the criminals know they just go and steal what they want and they can sell it on the black market and they get money for drugs.
Wow.
And that's why you got CVS and all these other businesses. Like Macy's just announced that, you know, they're leaving.
Mm.
And it's, you get these businesses fleeing because there are millions of dollars and stuff getting stolen.
Wait, what do you mean? Macy's is closing?
They're closing. That big one in, was it San Francisco or LA? I can't remember what it was. It was like a multi-story one. Very famous Macy's.
Wow.
Been there forever.
Yeah.
Decades. And they're closing it down because of all the shoplifting.
What?
Yep.
Is that everywhere?
They're losing more money than they're making in the store. So it's, why would you continue to stay open if you're losing tens of millions of dollars in stolen merchandise over the course of the year? So they closed the whole building down. Wow. Now you got another vacant retail center.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't want to move there. They don't want to open a business there because the police won't do anything about the theft.
Right.
Because they don't, even if the cops arrest them, the attorney general, who's also a leftist, has the no bail policy. Mm. So they arrest them, they do their paperwork, and they just release them right out. You know, they're out back out a few hours later to continue stealing, and nothing happens to them.
Right. That's so stupid. What's the point of that?
Yeah.
It's just a waste of time.
Yeah. And so, you know, Gavin Newsom gets to see firsthand, you know, people shoplifting in this Target, and he's upset they won't do anything about it. And they're like, we call the police, they won't even show up.
Right. Was he like, was paying for his own stuff.
Yeah, I was buying something.
Interesting. He could have been like, I'm walking out, I own this place.
Well, he was kind of saying, it's like, I should just walk out.
Right.
And, you know, the employees were like, this is Gavin Newsom's policy.
Mm.
This is like, you know, criminal justice reform. Like, you know what? The people that are going to jail are disadvantaged. So let's, you know, we don't want to, you know. And then you got some people on the left going, oh, this is reparations.
Mm.
You should just let them do it. And so you got organized criminal gangs. I don't know if you've ever seen video of that. They show up in Rodeo Drive and Beverly Hills and different areas.
No.
40, 50 cars. They organize it on, you know, social media. And then they just go into a Gucci store or Versace or any other kind of high-end store and then just run out with, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in merchandise.
I've
just
seen
wreck
that.
The store.
Yeah.
You know, those are all over Twitter. Those videos go viral.
Right.
And that's racketeering. Those are RICO law violations. But, you know, because you've got these attorneys, the state's attorneys that are basically elected by, you know, people that George Soros supports, they're pro criminal justice reform, and they basically don't prosecute anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it enables criminals come here from all over the world.
Right.
You know, when you look at like the people that are actually in jail, because a lot of people on the left go, oh, we got too many people in prison. It's, well, I mean, Venezuela, they release all the most dangerous people in prison, say, we'll release you, but you got to leave and go to America.
What?
Castro did that in the 1980s, the Mariel boat lift. He emptied all his jails.
Wow.
So the murderers, the rapists, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He let them out of jail and said, you can go free, but you have to go to America.
What?
And so they came here. I mean, you can read all about it in the 19. I remember what it was like down in Miami. It was a fucking war zone in the 80s. You had gangs murdering each other in droves and shootouts and stuff like that and cocaine deals. That's where the Miami Vice television show came from, is these criminals that came from Cuba that were released out of Castro's jails, he sent them to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, because they're criminals, they all got caught and they ended up in jail.
Yeah.
And so when you look at who's in our jails, I've seen, you know, some areas, some jails, there's like 78% of the people in there are people from other countries. They're not even Americans.
Yeah.
And so we basically are the jailer of the world. And a friend of mine who was from Poland a few years ago, we were talking about this, and she's like, hey, well, you guys won the Second World War, and so now all the bad people come to you. You know, the Colombian necktie, you know what that is?
No.
Colombian necktie is
when they cut
in the neck here, and then they pull your tongue out.
Oh.
And the tongue is like a tie?
No. Oh, my gosh.
All that shit was, you know, pretty bad. What was interesting is a lot of the cartels got involved with the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
And what you notice is, you know, all the beheadings and stuff and butchering of the bodies. They learned that from the Taliban because they're buying all the Taliban's heroin and their opium and stuff.
Yeah.